Earlier this month, Pope Francis issued a public letter to Catholic bishops in the U.S. It is a letter that directly and powerfully addresses the topic of migration, but for me at least, its implications go much further. You know the context, I think. In my home country at the moment, those in the highest levels of government are using aggressive and dehumanizing language with regard to immigrants, speaking in sweeping terms about those who have left their home countries in search of a better life in the US as criminals, villains, a menace to society. The government is taking action to deport enormous numbers of people. Fear and suspicion are taking root in immigrant communities, and understandably so. The Pope's letter speaks directly to this situation. The God we find in the Bible, both in the Hebrew people's journey from slavery to freedom and in Jesus' own experience, is a God who is close, incarnate, migrant, and refugee, he says. And, quote, Jesus Christ, loving everyone with a universal love, educates us in the permanent recognition of the dignity of every human being without exception. Throughout the letter, the Pope regularly uses the phrase infinite and transcendent dignity. I want to pause there for a moment just to take that in. Every person, without exception, possesses infinite and transcendent dignity. Every person is made in God's image. Every person is loved by God, and therefore the dignity of every person is without limit, without bounds. The Pope says the recognition of this fact, particularly when it comes to the most vulnerable, is the measure of the health of individuals and of communities. Christians know very well, he says, that it is only by affirming the infinite dignity of all that our own identity as persons and communities reaches its maturity. Recognizing the God-given dignity of each and every person is what growing up in Christ looks like. It is the path we must follow as individuals and as societies. Like so many, I am incredibly troubled by the way my country's leadership is speaking about and acting toward immigrants today. And as you know, the U.S. is far from alone in its trend toward xenophobia right now. Anti-immigrant parties and rhetoric are on the rise in many places. And in this context, I was thrilled with the clarity and boldness of the Pope's letter. I find the fingerprints of the gospel all over it. This is what I believe, that every person's dignity is infinite, that we cannot speak and act in ways that demonize others, that everyone without exception is loved by God. These are the convictions that must guide our common life and witness. Yes, this is right. This is what Christian faith looks like. This is what it's all about. Yes, I keep saying. And then along comes Luke chapter 6, and I am reminded of how profoundly difficult this is. Jesus is on a roll here. Just before our passage today, he shared those incredibly countercultural blessings. Blessed are you who are poor, you who are hungry, you who weep, you who are reviled on account of the Son of Man, which are paired with equally baffling woes. Woe to you who are rich, you who are full, you who are laughing, you who are spoken well of. Our passage today begins with the words, I say to you that listen. And I wonder if Jesus is sort of checking in to see if anybody still has their ears open after all he's been saying. It's hard to really hear teaching that runs so deeply counter to our familiar ways of seeing the world and our lives. But Jesus doesn't stop with those blessings and woes. His teaching only gets harder. I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. I love the Pope's words about the infinite and transcendent dignity of every person. And then along comes Jesus to remind me of how hard this really is to practice. Loving my neighbor without exception is profoundly difficult business. It will push me all the way to my limits. Because Jesus says very clearly here that I am not let off the hook with simply loving those who are easy for me to love. I am specifically and deliberately called to love beyond any of those boundaries that I might put up. I wish I had like a three-step process to tell you how to do this, but of course I don't. I think it is hard, almost unimaginably so, to see myself as called to love beyond my comfort zone, beyond my natural inclinations, beyond what seems feasible. I don't have a three-step process, but I do have a couple of observations. The first is that Jesus' words here are advocating a way of life based in profound inner strength. I know it may not sound that way. It can sound like he's calling for a sort of resignation among his followers, to oppose nothing, to just sort of roll over and let the powerful call the shots and do what they will. But that's not right, I think. The usual pattern in society as a whole, from playground games at elementary school to international relations at the highest level, is to respond to aggression with aggression. You hit me, I hit you back. That's not difficult or strange. It's natural. It's simply how society tends to operate in our time and in Jesus's too. What's difficult is to interrupt that process, to say in effect, no, I'm not going to play that game. You can speak and act with aggression toward me, but I'm not going to respond in kind. I'm not going to let you set the tone of my speech and the scope of my actions. I'm not going to give you that kind of power. Committed nonviolence is anything but weak. At its core, it is bold, active, and centered, an interruption to the cycle of violence and reprisal, a step toward a new and more hopeful future. And while I hope it goes without saying, there is a great difference between refusing to retaliate on the one hand and deliberately staying in an abusive situation on the other. There is nothing here in Jesus' teaching that should lead someone to remain in a situation at home or at work or anywhere else where their dignity is harmed in any way. So that's my first observation, that Jesus is not calling his disciples to be passive doormats, but rather bold and disruptive agents of love, no matter where they may be or what they may face. That's the first thing. And here's the second. This loving your enemies business is a communal undertaking. In the words of teacher and preacher Mary Hinkle Shore, this ethic is not meant to be tried alone. You can't see it in the English, but in our passage today, every single command, every single verb, every single utterance of you is plural in the original Greek. This radical way of life to which Jesus is calling his followers is not intended as some private practice, but as one for the community together. And I think that matters. It matters because I do not know how to do this on my own. Left to my own devices, I am likely to fall into the natural way of things, loving only those who agree with me or who are easy for me to care for. Left to my own devices, I am likely to draw my own lines around who actually has infinite dignity and who doesn't. But here in community, I'm confronted once again with the call to love beyond my limits. I don't often know how to do it, how to refuse the reactivity and vitriol so present around us, how to respond to hate-filled language from a firm grounding in love, how to embody the love of God that truly embraces all. But here I find the call to keep at it, and the community committed to following Jesus' way together. So this is not the easiest reading for a new member Sunday, but I think it's a good one, actually. It's a reminder that this is what we're about, the common task of following Jesus' ways of justice and mercy and love, struggling with Scripture together, sharing in a wide open meal of grace, proclaiming the good news of God's boundary-breaking love, serving all, working for God's kingdom of peace. We are here to support one another, yes, and also to challenge one another on the path Jesus has set for us, a path that is anything but easy and yet full of life. Our faith tells us that all people possess infinite and transcendent dignity. All people, without exception, are loved by God. We are called to live out that commitment daily, even in this difficult and uncertain time. I do not know just what that looks like in every situation. Thank God we have the community to struggle and discern together, to remind us to breathe deeply and find our footing in God's mercy, and to challenge us again and again to love beyond limits. Thanks be to God. Amen.